everybody. Welcome to Random Reflections. Today, Lori and I are going to talk about different trial venues, pros and cons of the different types, small, large, loud, quiet, and how that can impact different dogs.
Yeah, so I'll start because I think this is a cool topic to talk about because you do, I see it on Facebook a lot where people will reach out and ask about different venues to see what it's like before they, if they've never been there, before they, you know, put their entry in. Because I think that different trial venues can definitely impact different dogs and handlers depending on how their dogs react to environment. You know, I think the biggest difference you'll see is like the one ring, little small building, one ring trials versus, you know, a big venue that has multiple rings going on in it, whether it's obedience going on, two rings of obedience or rally or all of that plus confirmation going on. So there are, there's huge, vast differences between different venues that we go to. I always go back to thinking how it was during COVID. Like, you remember that?
Gosh, yeah.
And it was like, it was hard because...
Well, it was hard because you had to crate outside.
Yeah.
And then the dogs didn't really have time to acclimate to the building. So that was the biggest challenge, right? They didn't have an opportunity. Because if you think about it, this is what humans never think about, right? Because they're not self-aware. Like, I literally asked my poor training partner. I throw him under the bus all the time, right? Like, I literally asked him, I said, what is the first thing that, what do you think is the very first thing I did when I walked into this building? I don't know. I looked around. Like, we always look around, but we're not even aware of it. We don't think we do. No, we look around. I said, I looked around. I noticed the ring set up. I noticed there was like stuffing from the toil over the floor. Like, I noticed the lights were off. So I'm like, okay, turn the lights on. Like, that's what we do. We look around. And the more novel the space is, obviously, this is a training building we use all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not gigantic. It's big, but it's not gigantic, right? So any novel space, like, what is it? Humans going to do it. And animals for sure going to do it because they don't even know why they're there.
Right.
Right. Like, we just drove them somewhere. Okay, they're supposed to know, right? So they need to, like, typically, I always let my dogs acclimate. So I always let them walk in, look around, we walk around, and so on. So that, I think, was exceptionally challenging because the dogs really didn't get to go in until maybe one dog, the dog before them, was in the ring.
Right.
And then sometimes I don't remember where I was, but we couldn't even walk around the whole building. We were like in this like a cow chute thing, like on the side where they had like put like an aisle almost like with two gates, like two long rows of gates, and we could only warm up in there.
Right.
So I thought that was really hard for the dogs.
Yeah, it makes it, that made it really challenging. And then you've got, you know, because nobody was ever allowed in the building to watch, then you're like down to like the judge, the stewards, you, and maybe the other dog warming up in the corner, like masked up and given 2 inches of room to warm up. But that made it like that's hard because it got really quiet and it was like, That like kind of sterile environment is super hard because then every noise is louder, you know, a door opening is more noticeable, all that stuff.
Well, you know, I think people always think that, like, you know, people that in my mind, and I don't mean this in a judgmental way, but if their dogs have not been proofed well, then then in their mind, a sterile, very quiet environment will be better for their dog.
Right.
And I honestly don't think so. Like, I remember I went to this trial and it was like two rings. Anyway, I don't know what happened, but I went in the ring with Zayna and it got deathly quiet. Zayna looks up at me, her eyes get biggest saucers. And she's like, what is happening? What just happened? And I looked at her. I'm like, I really don't know. Let's just do our work. And she hated that entire run. She was very unhappy because it was really, really quiet. And I think that kind of creeps them out. Like, it
well, if you think about it, like if you're in a room, think about that. Like you're in a room and everybody just goes absolutely quiet.
Yeah.
You like you, right? Like I like tense up and I'm like, wait. Like it's exactly. It's like, wait, what? And then like everyone's listening, like what's going on? Everybody's like breathing changes. So it totally messes the dogs up.
Totally weird. And I find that if there's just regular ambient noise, you know, what regular trial noise is, my dogs are much better. I went to this one trial a few months ago and it was a one ring trial. And it's three walls, right? So it's a smaller building. So it's the ring is comprised of three walls and then one side of gates. And so on that, obviously on that side of gates is where the steward's table is. Nowhere else for it to go, right? And so it's, you know, because it's one ring, it's a smaller trial. There aren't as many people. But what really, this is what I found fascinating. My two dogs are polar opposites. Neither one of them liked that ring.
Yeah.
They didn't like it at all. And I was like in the ring looking at them and I'm like, this is so interesting. And I think they just feel pressure.
I agree.
Like they're squished in.
I agree.
Like they're trapped on all four sides. Neither one looked happy. Neither one like worked the way they normally do in terms of like just being relaxed or confident. Like they were both just I could see it on their faces. They were like, mom. Yep. I'm like, you know. So again, that I remember that so vividly because a lot of people go, oh, this is the kind of trial I want to bring my dog to because in their mind, it will be easier.
Right.
And that's not. So the point is, that is not necessarily true.
Definitely not true. I mean, I don't know about you. I think like when I walk into a room or a building or someone's house, like I like immediately get the vibe from like the layout and the lighting. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, it sounds weird. Like, I don't want to be like, yeah, there's like different energies I feel. Like, I'm not really at that. But I do. I feel that. Like, I could definitely walk into a space and be like, I don't like it in here. Like, I don't like the vibe in here. Like, for whatever the configuration is, if it's like low ceilings. When I went out to the NOC this year, we went and rented a training building. And Ever was like weirdo in this place. And I just remember going that place. Like, I remember feeling like it was weird because the ceiling was so low in there. Mm, yeah. And I'm like, I think that really affected her. Like that, like caused like indirect pressure almost.
Do you think it caused pressure? I feel like, more open buildings that are just more open. Like it's exactly like you say, right? Like when I'm in a smaller space or it's really dark or then I just kind of feel like, ugh,
yep.
You know, I don't like it. When it's wide open and it's bright and there's plenty of room. And even if it's three rings and it gets busy, I prefer it.
Me too.
And my dogs prefer it.
Same.
My dogs, even if they're green and then it's more distraction. And maybe even if they struggle a little bit, it's more an experience struggling. It's not really like an environmental, like they don't like this venue type of a struggle, right? And I think that people, instead of like with your mind thinking, oh, less distraction should be easier, you should read your dog. So like if you're with your dog in a space or in a place where it's super quiet, look at your dog. How is your dog? Is your dog, maybe your dog does like it better. I'm, you know, there's always going to be an array of dogs, right? Like And some dogs will, but I bet you there's a lot of people think their dog will, and it really doesn't. Like, you have to read how the dog perceives the space,
right? And reacts to it, for
like,
sure.
At Syracuse, this always cracks me up, right? No shade on Syracuse. I love that place. I go to those trials all the time. Nicest people in the planet. Great, great, great venue. But what... they never used to do this, and I don't remember when it started, but I remember one time I go up there and I'm like, it looks really weird here. Why does it look so weird? And then I realized they had covered all black blankets or black sheets, whatever, right? So now basically every ring looked like it was not regular ring gates, like barriers,
right?
And so I asked somebody, I'm like, why did they do that? And they're like, oh, well, somebody thought that that would make it easier for the dogs and less distracting. And again, I think it makes it harder because my dogs sit there, they hear stuff going on like behind them,
right?
Or next to them in the next ring, but they can't see it.
Yeah.
So I see it on their face. They're kind of like, I hear something, but I don't know what it is. What is it?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Versus if the whatever sheets or whatever is on those ring gates weren't there, they would go, oh, it's a dog retrieving. Whatever.
Like, right. They can make sense of it. They can make sense of the noise.
That's a perfect way to say it. They can make sense of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that. Yeah. And like the pressure thing, I think really people don't really even think about that with the configuration of the actual room that they're in or the venue. Like, even when I go to the Big E, which is up in Springfield, Massachusetts, for all the Nor'easters listening out there, I actually like it up there, only because even though it's super loud, like there is a noise factor up there,
it's
for sure.
Not loud.
It is really loud. But it does create it creates to me like a white noise.
Mm-hmm.
So everything going on just blends. So to me, like once you've been in there for 10 minutes, like to me, I don't even hear it anymore. Like it's just part of it. You just have to be really loud to your dog so they can hear you. But and even though there's tons of people up there because breeds going on and there's multiple rings of obedience and rally going on, it's still spacious enough where I don't feel the pressure. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think just talking about different venues, what factors do we factor in? Like I don't even think there's a place I would say I would never go. Do you have a place like you would say I'd never go back there?
No, I mean, first and foremost, I think at some point it's beneficial for most dogs to go to a variety of places because that's when we consider a dog seasoned, right?
Right.
So like Zaina, every place is unique in some way, shape, or form. And I like that because I want my dog to learn to generalize the behaviors to any environment. So Zaina has been to so many different places, big, small, dark, bright, you know, loud, quiet, whatever, that I bring her into a building and she'll never have been there before. I walk around. She looks around. She goes, oh, it's this obedience thing. And she doesn't even want to walk around anymore. She's like, let's go. Let's rock and roll.
Right.
Right. That to me is the result of having taken her to so many different places. And Zest is getting there. But like he has not been to anywhere near as many places as she has. But I typically don't. I mean, I make sure they have air conditioning in the summer because my dogs are black and my dogs run hot. So if they don't have AC, then my dogs are suffering. And then I'm like, what am I even doing to these poor animals? You know, like I'm asking you to concentrate and you're like.
Yeah, exactly.
Hanging down to the ground.
Yeah, that's probably the only thing that would deter me probably from
going. Like, I don't necessarily crate. There is one place I won't go only because there's no indoor crating. So that means my dogs have to be in the car. So now I have to make sure the weather is like a pretty ideal temperature or else I'm not going to be comfortable leaving them in the car.
Right.
And then I can't predict if it's going to rain. Like, to me, it's like has all the potential pitfalls of showing outside, right? Like,
right.
Too hot, too cold, raining. And then I'm like potting them, getting soaked in, out, whatever. Something, that's me. Yeah. I don't like crating out of my car.
Right.
Now, I get it. Some people prefer it. Some dogs prefer it. Some sports, you know, that's just how you roll. Like when I did nose work, you crate in your car. That's just, you know.
Right.
That's what you do. Or, like I know in agility, like I went up to an agility trial this past weekend just to train. And some people crated inside. Some people crated in their car. You know?
Right.
So for their dogs, that was a better scenario.
Right.
I personally want to be in the building.
I do too. And I'm like, I would say I'm pretty flexible about crating as long as I'm in the building too. There is one place that I probably wouldn't go back only because like crating is so tight. Like they're packing people in like sardines. And then even aside from that, there's zero place for warm up. Like it's just not ideal. And yeah, you can go outside and warm up. But again, like if it's raining or it's 9,000 degrees out, like that's right. Not going to work. Even trying to get from crating to the ring at this place, it's like going through a mass wall of people. Like it's ridiculous. So like, I mean, would I go back? Yeah, I would go back, but it's not something I would like. It's not a venue that I really put at the top of my list if there's other options for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to really know your dog, not make choices based on what you as a human think will be better for the dog. Like really know your dog, right? Yep. I do think that a lot of people limit themselves either because in their mind, you know, oh, my dog can't handle it. Your dog probably can.
Right.
Or they haven't prepared their dog well enough. So they're like, well, if I do this scenario, it will be better for my dog. Where my philosophy with that is just prepare your dog, right? Like, by that, I mean, just, you know, teach your dog to work around a wide variety of distractions.
Right.
And pressure. Then you know, are not limited, then you can basically trial where you want to trial. And I think the variety, I think it's nice to have the option. And I like taking my dogs to a variety of different places, probably because I get bored. Like if I was showing in the same place like four times a year, I'd be like, oh gosh, I'm like over it. Like I like variety.
Right.
I guess I'm like Zayna. We like variety.
Yeah, I think so, that's true. That's like a really good point to make, because I think we hear that a lot. You know, even when I'm teaching, sometimes I used to teach in a small building, like it had just the one little door coming in. So it was small enough where like if the door opened, you know, a green dog would definitely see that and notice that. Mm-hmm. And people used to get like upset. They'd be like, oh, that person shouldn't be coming in while I'm in here. And I'm like, that's your trial, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So I think that if you're limiting venues based on the fact that you don't think your dog can really handle it because you haven't prepared them enough, then you got to look at that really closely, because that's just training stuff, you know. Same with floors. I hear that too. Like, oh, that place always has stuff on the floor. Well, you can train for that. Totally train for that. All that stuff.
My gosh. Yeah, there's stuff always on the floor where I train on purpose. It's just there's stuff on the floor all the time. So then it's just like a non-issue, right?
Right.
I know. It's so interesting because like the person I train with today, she teaches and she's like, oh, yeah, like I'm always trying to set up, because when we train together, we always do challenges, right? And I just think we have so much fun with that. Like we have fun. The dogs have fun. Like I just think it is the most fun thing. Distractions. Like I think that stuff is fun. And she's like, oh no, there's people that are like, nope, not doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like, you know, do they like not think like that the dog can do it. Like, I don't understand why they don't want to do it. Like, I love that stuff. I embrace it. It's one of my favorite things about training. More fun to me than even teaching the behaviors is this proofing stuff we're doing. It is so fun.
Right. I think people get like, I don't know what it is either. I remember I had a bunch of students that would do that too. Like if we started to put some challenges out, they'd be like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I don't know what that is. I think a lot of it is like, I don't know if they just don't know how to handle it when it goes wrong or like they're not. Like you said, it's got to be fun. Like you got to laugh, you know, it's just.
We laugh all the time.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think, I don't know.
Maybe we'll do a proofing episode and explain like how we handle everything. Right.
Yeah.
Proof, because it is so important. It is so fun. And I find that like when I convince my students to do it, they start doing it. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm writing down all these ideas because they get super creative because they're like, oh, this is, you know, at first they're reluctant and then they're like, wait, this is really fun.
Right.
And I think it like today, oh my gosh, it wasn't even my dog. It was somebody else's dog. And we've been training for a few months and we've been putting up these challenges and the dog. I was not confident in articles at all. Very insecure, very unsure, would always make mistakes, you know, just because. So like week after week, I'd be like, you know, don't, you know, let the dog muck, you know, figure it out. We're not going to intervene. And today we set up this crazy hard challenge, right? And her dog ran out, found the first one really quickly, committed to it, ran back. It was a beautiful search.
Aww.
The next search, it went out and it was in this one area and very quickly was like, nope, not in this area. Like, you know, when they don't search every article, like
right.
When they search every article, they're not sure, right?
Right.
So it went in, it's like, it's not here, like kind of made this big move over to this other area. And it was like, boom, boom, there it is, grabbed it, ran back. It was beautiful. And I was like, that to me was so fulfilling to see this dog have come so far. And it's all because we're giving the dog challenges every week. And
right.
The dog's building on it and building on it. And now it's becoming more and more confident.
Right.
And I love seeing that. Like, I love seeing that.
And I think the dogs really start to enjoy it. You know, I think they start
they
to
do.
Rise to it. And they're like, you know, they love that stuff. They start to love
it. And it's funny. Like, they do funny things.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I had it. What the heck? Like, because, you know, today was classic entry at 10 and that's when we train. So I'm so busy like entering that I never like, we were all like entering on the computer. Right. And then we're like, all right, let's start training. And I never set up my camera. I was so mad because we set up, you know, we had the bar jump up.
Yeah.
And she brought in these little bunny toys. So their little legs are moving and they're making these really weird noises and the little heads moving. And she stuck them like on the bar jump, the two bunnies, right?
Oh my God.
So I tell Zesty to take the jump. He runs and he like jumps and like in midair, he like, I don't know how he did it, levitates even higher, like, these bunnies were gonna like get his feet or something. We were in stitches. Yeah. But like all this funny stuff happens like all the time.
Right.
And then we laugh and then the dog picks up on that and the dog's like, oh, this is fun. Like, I don't have to worry about those bunnies.
Yeah.
Like, nothing happened. Like, everybody's happy and cheering me on. And,
right, right.
You
and
know?
Right. And I'm not getting in trouble and all that
right.
stuff.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so funny.
So funny. They are so funny. So anyway,
yeah,
we will definitely do another episode on that.
But yeah, so AC for me, crating for me, again, that's just a personal thing, right? I think you have to say, like, you know, what is something that absolutely is not going to work or is going to work
for right, your dog? Yeah, for your dog.
And then other than that, you should just be adventurous.
Like, yeah.
You know, stop. And if your dog struggles with something or something weird happens, well, then okay. So then you just go home and you work on it.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, like realistically, you can't prep for every possible scenario anyway. It's impossible because I've been doing this for decades and random weird
stuff
thing that I've never seen or heard of before happens at a trial, right? And then my dog either handles it or the dog doesn't. And if the dog doesn't, whatever, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Just information. Yeah.
But I think variety is good. It's good for the dog. It just builds like resilience and it just teaches them to generalize the behaviors more.
Yep.
And, you know, I think a lot of it is like in people's heads. They get these ideas and then they make decisions based on these ideas, not based on the reality of like, what is their dog actually experiencing?
You know, right.
What does the dog actually feel
and telling you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
About this venue.
I agree. All right. Well, that was good. So be adventurous. Try different places.
Yes.
Right?
For sure.
It's fun. I love that. I also like going where, like, I won't know anybody, hopefully. Like, that's fun, too. Because, you know, you go to the same trials all the time. The same people are there. Totally. God.
Yeah, I think different people, different venues, different judges, different
dogs. Like, totally.
And like you said, it's an adventure, right?
Yes.
And you should look at it as an adventure and not panic, you know? And if you walk in and your dog's like, wow, don't immediately like go, oh God, well, they'll be fine. Just, you know, walk them around, give them some time to get acclimated.
Right.
And, you know, go through your routine. And if you're training solid, then your dog will be fine. But you don't want to limit yourself, you know, and don't listen to everybody. You know, pick what, make your own decisions for you and for your dog.
Yes.
And read your dog.
Yes.
Read your dog and listen to the dog. Don't listen.
Don't listen to anybody else.
Except us. No, I'm kidding. Do what I tell you or else.
All right. That was good. Right. Hope you all like that.
Okay.
Hope it's helpful.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.